Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7.
Be sure to receive these young people after services and encourage them. Let them know how good of a job they've done tonight, and I know they would appreciate that. And encourage them to lead many more times in the future than they have done tonight. They've geared up for tonight, and I know they've been proud of the job they've done. And for you to tell them that gives them that much more encouragement. They're going to lead you to some songs that they truly love to sing.
Jesus loves little children. Jesus loves little children. All the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves little children of the world.
Today I will be reading 915, Trust and Obey. We'll be seeing the first and last verses of 915, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, while the glory
today I will be reading 453, Yes, Yes to Me. We'll be seeing the first and last verses of 453, Yes, Yes to Me. I will sing to deep and sand, lost in a peaceful soul, very deep and sand, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea, whom I could fail and cry, from the waters gives to me my faith. Am I? Yes, yes to me. Yes, yes to me. When nothing else could help, yes, yes to me. Yes, yes to me. Yes, yes to me. When nothing else could help, yes, yes to me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus comes easy day. He will yet by His gift out of the angry way. He's the master of the sea, whom I just will obey. He'll set your works to be safe today. Yes, yes to me. Yes, yes to me. When nothing else could help, yes, yes to me.
singing Blue Skies and Rainbow. The fourth and last fourth is Blue Skies and Rainbow.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can sing when I'm lonely and in me I know Jesus is well in the light he said he makes his home not hard. Nevermore will I be all alone with promise me that we never will part. Tall mountain, blue valley, the big ass around me are hanging away of the wonderment. Jesus is well and alive.
Please send your songbooks to 574. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love, dear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
What you're seeing tonight and have been seeing in these song leaders is a wonderful thing going on. You measure growth in a church not just numerically, but by things like what you're seeing tonight. This afternoon, we spent the larger part of the afternoon practicing together in speech making and leading singing in the puppets and all sorts of things. And I wish you could have heard all those speeches, those lessons. And after hearing them, it occurred to me that you really needed to hear some of these. And so these five men who are about to preach, and each sermon lasts about 5 minutes, are all members of the church. I consider it a real honor to lead God's people in worship. But the kinds of things you're going to hear tonight will make you know that they are capable of leading God's people in worship to God. And these lessons are just wonderful. I'm going to say one more thing. Sometimes in these speeches, in Lads to Leaders, you'll hear boys who are coming along and the speeches are pretty bland. Little scripture, not much weight to them. You're going to hear something different tonight. It just makes me real proud of our parents who are rearing these boys, because these lessons you're about to hear are from the Bible. And you'll see a definite trend as we go through these. They've been working on them for a long time, but they're well written and they're from the Bible, and they'll really encourage us and teach us. Now here's the order in which we're going to do this. Joshua Todd, then Jim Foy, then Bill McCormick, then Mark Owen, then Tyler Ratledge, and then I'll come up at the end. Let's begin.
Choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. You see, the Israelites had conquered the land and had rest. Joshua told them this to remind them to obey. I will give you a quick overview of Joshua and a few other books about obeying. First, let's start with Joshua 1. In the verse 16, the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh replied to Joshua, saying, Whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. They obeyed by staying with their brethren and fighting the people of Canaan. Then, in Joshua 22:1-8, Joshua said that they had kept all that he had commanded them, blessed them, and told them to return to their tents and go to their families, and share their riches with their brethren. They obeyed and left. In Genesis 12, God promises Abraham many things when he obeys him. First, God tells Abraham to leave his home, and Abraham obeys. Then Abraham's faith was tested when he was told to take his son, his only son Isaac, to a mountain and sacrifice him. He would have been willing to do that if an angel from heaven had not come down and stopped him. He obeyed, and God let him keep his son. His reward was he was the father of many nations. Now let's look at an example in the New Testament. You can be saved when you obey. In Luke 15, the prodigal son returns to his father to say that he does not deserve to be called his son. But the father forgives him, just like God forgives us when we obey him by being baptized. In Acts 9, Saul is on his way to Damascus when he sees a bright light. He is blinded and told to go to Ananias. Ananias helps him learn about Jesus. Saul obeys and is baptized. When he comes out of the water, he can see again. Just because we are not in Bible times doesn't mean we cannot obey. We need to obey our parents every day. We can even listen to advice given to us by our Bible class teachers and preachers. God said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This means if we truly love God, we will obey him. Let's go back to Joshua 1:16. Whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. The children of Israel said they would obey Joshua, and they did it. Whom will you choose to obey?
Once there was a boy. He was a good boy, and he always listened to his parents. One day, his mother told him to go to the store and to buy some things. She had no change, so she gave him a $20 bill. "Bring back all of the change," she said, "and don't use it to buy bubble gum." The boy agreed and went to the store. A few minutes later, when he was checking out, he saw some bubble gum on the shelf. It looked so good, and it only costed 25 cents. The boy looked away and gave the cashier the $20 bill. "Your change comes to 75 cents," she said. Then she gave the boy 4 quarters. As the boy walked off, he suddenly realized that 4 quarters did not equal 75 cents. It was 1 extra quarter. The boy remembered the bubble gum and how it had only costed 1 quarter. He got back in line. When the cashier asked, "How may I help you?" the boy stopped. "I came to tell you that you gave me an extra quarter," he said. "Oh dear," the cashier replied. "Thank you for coming and telling me. How about a piece of bubble gum?" This story can be applied in many ways to our Christian lives. For one thing, the boy was commanded to bring back all of his change, but he was tempted to not do so and to buy bubble gum. The boy did the right thing, however, and looked away. Also, the boy could have chosen to buy bubble gum when he saw the extra quarter and been dishonest and lied. However, the boy chose to do the right thing and be honest. And because of this, he received his reward. We, too, if we do the right thing, which is obey God, will receive a reward. This won't always be easy, however. Take Paul, for example. Paul was one of the greatest missionaries of all times, but it wasn't always easy. 2 Corinthians 11:24-27 says, "Of the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Paul, through all of this, didn't waver in faith. And according to 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, he received his reward. It says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them who love his appearing. Paul is receiving eternal life because of the good things that he's done. And if Paul can keep the faith through all the things that he endured, anyone can. And our reward will not always be here and now, like many of us want and expect it to be. It will usually be in heaven later. However, this may seem like a long time away, but James 4:14 tells us that it's really not. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Ye are a vapor, who appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. It's just really not that long of a time. And if you live one day at a time, you will make it. However, sometimes there will be a physical reward for our good deeds. Take Job, for example. Job was a very rich man, but he had all of his possessions taken by Satan. However, Job didn't sin, and eventually God gave him 3 times more wealth than he had. This is a very condensed version of the story, but it shows us that physical rewards may come out of good deeds. However, we have to be careful, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that many have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. The boy got his bubblegum for doing the right thing. However, we have to do more. We have to obey God. One of these commandments is the Great Commission. It's a commandment, not a choice, like the boy was commanded to bring back all of the bubblegum. Mark 16:15 is known as the Great Commission. It says, And he said unto them, Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what Paul was doing when he received affliction and his reward. We're commanded to go into all the world. We're in the world right now, so we can evangelize right here. We're also commanded to go to church, live faithful Christian lives, and be baptized. The Israelite tribes told Joshua, Whatever you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. This reminds me a lot of the story, and this is what we need to tell God. But we don't just need to tell God this, we need to follow through.
Mom tells you that you must clean your room now, but you have plans to play on your Xbox. It may take 2 hours to finish cleaning your room. What do you do? Obey Mom, or do what you want? In Joshua 1, the Israelites are preparing to enter the Promised Land. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh have claimed land to the east of the Jordan River. Although they would prefer to settle in this land with their families, Joshua reminds them they must fight with the rest of Israel to claim the Promised Land. What should they do? Obey, or do what they want? Let's look at what others did and the consequences. In Daniel 3, we read of 3 who obeyed God: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar who had made a golden image and commanded the people to worship it. If anyone refused to worship the golden image, he was to be thrown into the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not worship the golden image. Instead, they worshiped God. When Nebuchadnezzar found out about this, he commanded that they be thrown into the furnace 7 times harder than usual. But they did not burn. Nebuchadnezzar was so amazed when he saw this that he commanded that the people were to worship God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a lot of pressure to worship the golden image, but they stood up for what's right and had God on their side. Not only did they not get burned, but Nebuchadnezzar also learned who the one true God was and that all should worship him. Naaman also obeyed God. In 2 Kings 5, we read that Naaman had leprosy. Naaman's servant girl told him about a prophet named Elisha. He commanded Naaman to dip in the Jordan River 7 times to cure his leprosy. Naaman became angry and did not want to do it at first, since the Jordan River was so dirty, but he was later convinced to do it. Naaman's skin became new again, like the skin of a baby. He then proclaimed there is no God but the God of Israel. Naaman almost didn't obey because he thought it was not logical to become clean in a dirty river. But Naaman was cured of his leprosy because he obeyed God. What's important is obeying God rather than doing what we think makes sense. Let's check out a couple who did not obey God, Adam and Eve. We read in Genesis 2 that God put them in the Garden of Eden, and they were to take care of it. In the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told them that they may eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and if they eat of it, they will surely die. After the serpent convinced Eve they would not die, she ate of this tree and gave some to Adam. As a result, they were banished from the garden and had to work the ground for their food. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever, but Adam and Eve made a bad choice. Their disobedience resulted in a life of hard labor away from the beautiful garden, and eventually death. In Mark 10, we read about the rich young ruler who owned a lot of material things. He was apparently interested in following Christ. So he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. Honor your father and your mother." And the rich young ruler said, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And Jesus put a love for him and told him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, and you will have eternal life. And come, follow me." And after he heard this, he was grieved, for he owned very much property. He turned away, and we do not read of him again. The rich young ruler missed out on many rewards by not obeying God. He could have had eternal life and been a disciple of Jesus. Likewise, we will miss out on many rewards if we do not obey. To obey and receive our reward in heaven, we must hear the gospel, believe that Jesus is God's son, repent of our sins, and then we are to confess Christ. After that, we must be baptized into Jesus Christ, and then we are to be faithful until death. As the Israelites told Joshua in Joshua 1:16, "All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. We are to faithfully follow God's commands." Don't let worldly things get in the way of obeying God. The rich young ruler enjoyed his riches while he lived, but he does not have them where he is now. So what are the consequences of not obeying your mom and playing your Xbox instead? You might get grounded for a month, but what are the consequences of not obeying God? 2 Thessalonians 1:8 tells us, "In flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." But what are the consequences? But the reward of obeying God? 1 Peter 1:4 states, "An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Obey God, and you will receive your reward in heaven."
At the age of 33, Eric Winemar is a phenomenal athlete. He enjoys snow skiing and skydiving, but his specialty is mountain climbing. As a matter of fact, he's one of the youngest climbers who have ever climbed all the 7 summits, the highest peaks of each continent. He completed this task in 2002 after scaling Mount Kilimanjaro in 1995 and Mount Kilimanjaro in 1998. In 1999, he reached South America's highest peak. But on May 25th, 2001, he reached the summit of Mount Everest, a summit that 90% of those who begin the climb, they never finish. But Eric, he made it. And since 1953, 253 people have died while trying to climb this mountain. Now this in itself is an extremely significant feat, but that's not even half of it. Eric went totally blind at the age of 13. So all of his climbs have been without the benefit of his eyesight. Eric is a blind mountain climber. Well, it is when I read a story like this, it reminds me, the only thing that keeps us from accomplishing it, whatever it is we set out to do, are the restraints we put upon ourselves. And in our spiritual lives, we are often underachievers because we limit God's power in our lives Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jesus said in Matthew 19, with God, all things are possible. God has given us a commandment to take, to carry the gospel to all nations. This includes our own nation. So why aren't we more evangelistic? Why are we sometimes reluctant to share our faith and invite our friends to church? Is it because we are afraid? We might think that someone will think we're strange, that we'll be rejected and ridiculed. Well, I want to share with you two principles that'll help us overcome this great fear. One, keeping our eye on God's power and not on our circumstances. In the Old Testament, in Numbers 13, Moses brought the children to Kadesh Barnea, and that is where he sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. The spies spent 40 days searching out the land, and when they came back, every single thing that God said about the land was true. But even with such undeniable evidence, 10 of the spies were convinced that they could not conquer the land, because some of the cities had high walls around them, and some of them were even occupied by giants. You see, the 10 spies did not believe in God's power, but only in their own circumstances. So second, keeping our minds fixed on God's promises and not on a man's fears. Joshua and Caleb knew of God's promise to be with them and help them drive out the Canaanites. They knew that God was greater than the enemy at hand was. You see, the 10 spies saw the giants in comparison to themselves, where Joshua and Caleb saw the giants in comparison to God. It is so very unfortunate that the nation sided with the majority, because doing so made them afraid and discouraged. The Bible tells us that they went to their tents crying and wishing that they could return to good old Egypt. Moses had instructed them not to be afraid, but they decided not to walk by faith, but to walk by sight. And because of this, they could not enter the promised land for another 40 years. Someone has said, faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of circumstances and consequences. It is sometimes easy to say to God and fellow Christians, I will be faithful and I will be strong. But it takes courage and perseverance to actually follow through on our commitments. You see, in Joshua 1:16, the Israelites said to Joshua, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. But in the end, the Israelites found it very difficult to totally drive out the Canaanites from the promised land. But just as God has commissioned Israel to have faith and to conquer the land of Canaan, the Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned us to have faith and to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. So why do we still find it so difficult to talk to our friends and neighbors about Christ? Is it because we let the giants of fear and the high walls of rejection keep us from teaching the lost? Remember that fear is nothing in comparison to our great God. So let's say yes to spreading the gospel. And know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with God, all things are possible.
The battle was imminent as the soldiers stood before their commander. The scene had been repeated countless times in ancient history, yet is as fresh as today's headlines. Leave home and family, travel into foreign territory, prepare yourself for battle with an unknown enemy, swear loyalty, follow orders, obey commands. This is what is expected of the soldier. Yet this time, it was different. The commander was anew. He wasn't a total unknown, but he wasn't their old commander either, the one that had led them for so many years and had performed miracles before their very eyes. You see, the soldiers were the mighty men of valor from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh that had been given their inheritance by Moses on the east side of the Jordan River and were now being called upon to fight alongside their brothers for the promised land on the west side of the Jordan. The new commander, of course, was Joshua. But would they be able to trust Joshua as they had grown to trust Moses? And the real question, would God be with Joshua as he had been with Moses? In the end, the decision was simple. They put their faith in God and in Joshua and said, All that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And they fought alongside their brothers until the promised land was subdued, and eventually they were able to return to their own home. As Christians today, we don't have a physical leader, such as Joshua, to follow, and most of us will not go into battle in the role of a soldier. But, as the Bible tells us, we are in a spiritual battle with Satan every day. He is our enemy, but his tactics may not be as obvious as the enemy on the battlefield. Satan is the father of lies, and his methods are deceitful and subtle. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are to arm ourselves against the schemes of the devil, so that we may be able to extinguish his fiery arrows. The problem is, we may not see those arrows coming at us. Christians face many challenges today. The government preaches tolerance and passes laws to protect rights for abortion and homosexual unions. Yet, we cannot lead a prayer or read from the Bible in public schools. The TV shows and movies that aren't too obscene to watch present homosexual characters as just regular people with a different lifestyle. It's even making its way into cartoons and books for children. The church faces the same threats as individual Christians from without and other threats from within. Many are advocating liberal changes in worship and in the church leadership and in order to be more contemporary and appealing. Mechanical music, leadership roles for women, and taking the Lord's Supper other than the first day of every week are areas of change. The very doctrine that baptism is for the remission of sins is being rejected by some. So, how do we overcome these challenges to our Christian lives? Paul gives us the answer in Ephesians 6:11-17. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking of the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To put on the armor of God is to put His Word into our hearts. And just like the mighty men of valor that followed Joshua, we must be willing to do all that God commands and do just like He commands. If we follow God's will and do what His words say, we will be protecting our hearts from the temptations of sin. Even better than physical armor, God's armor leaves no place unprotected so that we can escape Satan's temptations. Have you put on the full armor of God today? Or are there gaps in your armor? Make your preparations now because the battle has already begun.
You know, I turned 50 recently. And there are some negative things to that, I suppose, but most of it is positive. And I was just sitting, listening just now, and it occurred to me that through your life as you grow older, there are things that you couldn't previously understand, which you can understand now. When I was a boy, their age, we would do this sometimes. And my perspective of it was rather small. It was a challenging. We were scared of it, but we sort of enjoyed it and we did it. And these young men, these young Christians are just doing great. But I look at it much differently now. I really think I understand the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:4-5. He said, "Timothy, I can't wait to get to you and see you. I'm going to be filled with joy. When I see the unfeigned faith that is in you, I know where it came from. It was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I see it in you." There's something phenomenal going on here tonight, and that is the evidence of parents who are rearing their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's Proverbs 22:6. That's where we're putting our faith. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I declare there are many fathers doing that tonight. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What we're witnessing is a transference of faith into our children. It's the perennial nature of the family of God. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of it, and I'm so thankful to get to hear these young preachers deliver the Word of God in an excellent way, well prepared, studied from the Scriptures, and they brought us the Word of God. And may God bless every one of them. It may be that there's someone here tonight who wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to offer our assistance. I wonder if you've heard the Word of God and if you believe Jesus is God's Son, if you're ready to confess His name. I mean, you've made the decision. I'm going to follow Jesus in my life. I don't want to live a life that ultimately leads me to hell. I want to go to heaven. And perhaps you've made that decision to get on that path, the path that leads to eternal life. You can confess Him tonight before this group of people. I believe that Jesus is God's Son, and you can be baptized just like the Master said. Just like He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. You can obey the gospel and be baptized tonight. Maybe you have done that, but you need the prayers of the Christians. Perhaps some struggle in your life, or perhaps some influence that's bad that you need to dilute and let people know that you want to do right. We'd be happy to pray with you tonight. This would be a fine time. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Is there someone here who would like to respond? If so, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.